السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير، الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask him Jalla wa Az to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let me get this right off the bat. It gives me immense pleasure to be here with you all in London and to be a part of this beautiful winter conference, Light Upon Light 2016. And in accordance with the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, "Man lam yashkur innas lam yashkur Allah." The one who has not thanked the people has not thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I thank the organizers, I thank the volunteers, I thank the team members, and I thank each and every person who pitched in some way or the other towards making this event a reality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of them. May Allah azza wa jal bless all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless one and all with the very best in both worlds, in this world as well as the hereafter. Please say ameen. May Allah azza wa jal make this gathering a gathering where the angels shroud us with their wings, the sakina, tranquility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon us, and may He subhanahu wa ta'ala make high mention of us in the seven heavens. Ameen. Okay, so before I tackle the topic that has been allocated for me, and before I delve into the content, I would like to share with you all a profound quote of Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri, rahimahullah. He is reported to have said, إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا ثَلَاثُ أَيَّامِ إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا ثَلَاثُ أَيَّامِ مَضَى أَمْسْ بِمَا فِيهِ وَغَدًا لَعَلَّكَ لَا تُدْرِكَ فَانْظُرْ مَا أَنْتَ عَامِلٌ فِي يَوْمِكَ. Let me translate this in a figurative manner and not in its literal sense, because I think it would be understood better. He is reported to have said that the life of this world, the life of dunya, is just 3 days. It's just a mere 3 days, the life of this dunya, the life of this world. Yesterday has vanished. Listen to me attentively. Yesterday has vanished with all that it came with. As for tomorrow, perhaps you may never see it. But today is what you have with you. It is yours. So work hard in it. Profound words. The life of this dunya, it consists of 3 days. Yesterday has vanished with all that it came with. Tomorrow, perhaps you may never see it. And as for today, this is what you have with you. This is yours. So work hard in it. If we were to just think about these words, it relates because, look, we are at the inception of 2016. And the year 2015 just flew past us so fast. It just sped away. And for that matter, this whole decade from 2010, it has just been flying. I mean, the time has just been flying so fast. Allahu Akbar. Here we are at the inception of 2016. And trust me, before you know it, 2020 will hit you right in your faces, bam. And you won't even realize it. Time is flying. And the fact that it's flying is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied. It's from the minor signs of the day of Qiyamah, taqarub al-zaman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the reckoning for all of us during that horrendous day. Ameen. It is a day, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. It is a day where, or when your children, your wealth will not benefit you, It is a day yawma yafirru al-mar'u min akhihi wa ummihi wa abihi wa sahibatihi wa banihi. A day when a person will run away from his own brother, from his own sister, from his own children, from his beloved wife, husband. They'll all run away. Why? They will only be concerned about themselves. Such a horrifying day. And we're headed towards that day. It's just around the corner. This is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how many years ago? 1,400 odd years ago, that it's from the minor signs of the day of Qiyamah. And here we are, time is flying so fast. So coming back to the quote of Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, he talks about 3 days, and we just said that we have only today. Why? Because this belongs to us, and we're supposed to work hard in it. So now that we're focused on today, I would like to ask you all a question. A question that is in line with the content that I hope to touch, and a question that I hope serves as a wake-up call. And this question is, have you ever thought about your legacy? Think about it. Let every word of this question sink deep into your minds. Don't just brush it away. Have you ever thought about your legacy? Because each and every one of us, we are all going to leave legacies behind, whether we like it or not. We all have to leave legacies after we move on. We all leave legacies. It's a matter of what kind of a legacy we leave behind. What kind of a legacy do you want to leave behind? Do you want to leave a legacy that resonates of goodness throughout the annals of time? Or do you want to settle for the status quo? Do you want to settle for something mediocre? Do you want to settle for perhaps a legacy that no one would be bothered about? It is upon us, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that we go through the annals of history, that we learn and study about the lives of the legends and the luminaries of the past. The legends who left amazing and great legacies behind. Such powerful individuals. They were individuals who had a focused vision. And they used to do whatever it took. They were people where at times they went through a lot of hardship, a lot of trials. But they did whatever possible. You know, they used to exhaust all of their resources, come what may, to realize those visions of theirs, to realize those dreams of theirs. They did whatever. They went through so much of difficulty. And the best example for that would be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The best example. He was a legend. A luminary, a powerful person. But then when you go through his life, you realize that he went through so many trials, so many challenges. He was orphaned at a very young age. He lost his father even before he saw the light of day. And then he loses his mother. He goes under the patronage, the care of his grandfather. He loses his grandfather, loses his uncle. He loses his beloved wife, Khadija radiallahu anha. That particular year was known as Aamul Huzn, the year of grief, the year of distress. It was during that year that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his uncle and lost his beloved wife. They were two boulders of support for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lost both of them. And then he loses sons. His own people, the people of Makkah, they chase him away out of Makkah. And he takes the message of Islam. This was his mission. He was the final prophet sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He takes the message of Islam and goes to Ta'if. And did they accept him in Ta'if? They did not accept him. And let alone accepting, they deployed street urchins to go running after him and to pelt him with stones. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He was bleeding. He was injured. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But did he lose hope? Did he waver? Did he despair? No, he didn't. He fixated his focus towards Medina and set up base in Medina. And as you all know, from there, Islam spread to the four corners of this world. This was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The luminaries, the legends of the past, they were individuals who faced adversity. They went through trials, they went through challenges, but they were patient and they persisted. They did not give up. Look at the life of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. At a very young age, little Yusuf, at a very young age. Sometimes, you know what? We skim through these stories without deriving lessons. These stories have been mentioned by our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Noble Quran for a purpose. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرًا. In their stories, in their mention, are lessons. لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. For those who have intellect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of understanding for all of us. Ameen. Little Yusuf, he was thrown into the bottom of a deep, dark well. And who threw him? His enemies? No. His own brethren, his own siblings, his own blood. His own brothers, they went and dumped him into the bottom of a well. And then what happens? After a period of time, do you think a rescue team came about and saved him and rescued him and took him to his father? A caravan did come, but what did they do? They took him prisoner and they went far, far away from Palestine to Egypt, to Misr. And they sold him as a slave in the marketplace. One day a free man and the next day a slave. Subhanallah. He was sold as a slave. And then what happens? A minister purchases him and then he starts to work for that minister. Fast forward the story. He's now an adolescent and the lady of the house tries to seduce him. It's a trial. But some might enjoy that trial. Elderly lady trying to seduce him. But at that point, did he lose focus? Did he give up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look at the statement. Such a powerful statement. He seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not forget Allah azza wa jal. And then after that, because he was innocent, because he refused, there were a couple of other events that took place, but nonetheless, he ended up being thrown into prison. Unjustly, he was innocent, and he was thrown into prison. He remained in prison فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضَعَ سِنِينَ. He remained in prison for years. And only after that he was released, his innocence was proclaimed, and he was appointed as a minister of finance and treasuries, if you will. And only after that he was reunited with his family. After all these trials, subhanAllah, that he did not give up, he did not lose hope. Likewise, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He puts us through trials. But we fail to fathom and understand the gravity behind these trials. Trials are blessings in disguise. Trials are perhaps a way for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you of your sins, to polish you to the better, to prepare you for something bigger, to help you to secure a high rank in Jannah. This is the purpose. But we are very swift and very quick to question the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal forgive us all. Ameen. So the legends and the luminaries of the past, they were individuals who encountered failure, yes. They encountered failure, but that did not deter them. They went straight back to the drawing board and they started all over again. They started afresh. They were such individuals. Look at the story of the person who invented the light bulb, Thomas Edison. He went through almost around 2,000 elements to come up with a proper filament for the light bulb. And after going across 2,000 things, he fails. And his assistant says, you know, what a waste of time. We went through 2,000 elements. What a waste of time. We haven't learned anything. And here we are, we're still a failure. We haven't come up with the light bulb or whatever. And you know what he said at that point? He very confidently and very positively, he said, no, we did not fail. We haven't failed. We have instead acquired a lot of knowledge. We have learned a great deal. We have learned that there are 2,000 things that won't work as a filament to make a proper light bulb. So if you fail 2,000 times, you have actually learned that these 2,000 ways, these mistakes of mine, I should never repeat them. Each mistake is a stepping stone towards success. Think of it as an installment payment that you're paying towards achieving or acquiring success and victory. And as they say, your last mistake was your best teacher. Because the minute you commit a mistake, you learn that you shouldn't fall into the same pit again. So the luminaries, the legends of the past, they learned from their mistakes. They did not give up. And most importantly, they pushed themselves. They pushed themselves past their limits. Way past their comfort zones. They did not settle for the status quo. They did not even consider it acceptable. They were individuals who strove hard a lot. And just as they say, a ship is generally safe in the harbor, but that's not what it has been built for. Likewise, you and I, we have not been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to just remain within our comfort zones. No. We're supposed to strive. We're supposed to strive for excellence. And especially us believers who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's just not about this life. We have the akhirah as well. We have so much to strive for. We need to really, you know, work on our aspirations, ulul himma. We need to have high aspirations. Look at this hadith, a beautiful narration. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, and the hadith is authentic. The narration goes along the lines of these words of kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. He goes on to describe Jannah. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that Jannah has 100 levels, 100 stages, just amazing. And the topmost of them all, of the 100 stages, is Jannatul Firdaus, because that is the most grandest of the Jannat, the gardens of paradise. And above which is Arshur Rahman, the saqf, the roof of Jannatul Firdaus is Arshur Rahman, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, Allahu alayhi wa sallam, went on to state that the distance between each paradise, each Jannah, each garden, each heaven, is the distance equivalent from the surface of this earth to the heavens. From the surface of this earth to the heavens. If we were to just skim over the hadith, at times we wouldn't understand the depth of the hadith, of the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think of it. The distance between each paradise, each heaven, is the distance from the surface of this earth to the heavens. And until today, there's nobody who has traversed the whole universe or all of the heavens. Nobody knows. Nobody can really measure this distance. Astronomers, the ones who are experts in this field, they state that our universe, just amazing, mind-blowing. Our universe contains within it almost around 100 to 200, not million, billion with a B, galaxies. 100 to 200 billion galaxies. And after stating that, they put forth a disclaimer stating that if there were certain advancements made in telescopic technology, that number would actually double. That number would double. And they would state that, you know, we have around 300 to 400 odd billion galaxies contained within this universe. And from all these galaxies, from all these billions and billions of galaxies, we are part of one galaxy. And which galaxy is that? The Milky Way galaxy, not the chocolate. Milky Way is a galaxy and galaxy is a chocolate, but I'm talking about chocolates here. The Milky Way galaxy. And you know, within the Milky Way galaxy, these astronomers state that that galaxy contains almost around another 100 to 200 billion solar masses, some of which are bigger than the sun and some of which are smaller than the sun. And within that galaxy, we have the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. We are part of planet Earth. Now start zooming in. The United Kingdom. And what is this place called? East London. And here you are. Take a step back and just think about it. Look at how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And look at the hadith now. The distance between each heaven is the distance equivalent from the surface of this earth until the heavens. So just imagine what a vast Jannah. And remember this. The only size of regret of the dwellers of Jannah, I said this the other day as well, will be that, oh, I should have said one more Subhanallah. I should have said one more Alhamdulillah. I should have said one more Allahu Akbar. For if I had said one more Subhanallah, one more La ilaha illallah wahda, la sharika la, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, perhaps a tree would have been planted in my orchards in Jannah. Perhaps a palace would have been built for me in Jannah. In dunya, we strive so hard. We strive to upgrade our vehicles, we strive to upgrade our houses, our gadgets and what not. But what about Jannah? Just imagine if you perhaps are going to be on level 10, you would be so sad. Oh, how I wish I perhaps would have, you know, if I had only put in more hard work, I could have made it to level 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Jannatul Firdaus, high aspirations, we need to work hard. Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah is reported to have said, إِنَّ دُورَ الْجَنَّةِ تُبْنَى بِالذِّكْرِ فَإِذَا أَمْسَكَ الذَّاكِرُ عَنِ الذِّكْرِ أَمْسَكَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ عَنِ الْبِنَى. That indeed the levels, the palaces, the stages of Jannah are being built with dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the minute the one who is remembering Allah azza wa jal stops remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels stop building his palaces for him. So if you want palaces, if you want a good life in the hereafter, and that's the life that we're going to live forever and ever. Coming back to the quote of Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri, rahimahullah, this life is just 3 days. 3 days. Yesterday it has gone, it has vanished with all that it came with. Tomorrow you don't know, you have no guarantee whatsoever that you will see tomorrow. All you have is today to strive as hard as possible to secure an amazing legacy. According to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, the lifespan of my ummah is just between 60 and 70. Such a short, transitory and temporary life. But the life of the Akhirah, the hereafter, is going to be forever and ever. You're going to live there for an eternity. So don't you think that you need to put in really hard work to secure a good life there, to secure investment that will reap amazing rewards for you in Al-Akhirah? So let us work hard, let us strive. And like I said earlier, come what may, you're bound to be put through trials and challenges. And that's why I started off the talk by reading, Tabarakalladhi biyadihi al-mulk wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created death and life for what purpose? To test you all. To test which one of you is best in terms of good deeds. So we may be put through challenges. At times we have to go through the mill. And all these luminaries, all these legends, just as we mentioned, they were all put through the mill. They all went through adversity. They went through trials. They went through challenges. But they did not lose hope. I remember this interesting story between an old man and his daughter. His daughter was going through a patch of trouble in life, and she was finding it very difficult. She was almost losing hope. She was depressed. She was very negative. She was looking at everything, you know, from a negative angle. So she comes to her father, her old father, and she, you know, pours out all of her sorrows and her woes and whatnot. The man, the old man, says, "My dear daughter, I would like to teach you a lesson." And the daughter was not interested to listen to any lessons. She was so depressed, she was so upset, she was so sad. She didn't want to listen to any lessons now. She just wanted to, you know, she wanted a shoulder to cry on. But the father said, "Look, this is an important lesson and I want to teach you this." He takes her to the kitchen. He takes her to the kitchen and he takes three things: a potato, an egg, and some ground coffee beans. He takes a pot of water, places it on the oven of the cooker, and he starts to cook it, to boil the water. The water is boiling, and he puts in, okay, he had three pots, and he puts these three things in different pots. The potato in one, the egg in the other, and the ground coffee beans, the final pot. And after a while, okay, he looks at his daughter, and he tells her, "Please open up the pots and tell me what you see inside." And she was, you know, agitated. She goes, she quickly opens up the pots and she says, "It's a potato, it's an egg, and here you are, you have some brewed coffee now. You put in ground coffee beans, now it has become coffee." He tells her, "Okay, touch the potato, please." She touches the potato very gingerly. And he asks her, "Now what do you feel? What do you think about the potato?" She says, "It has become squishy and soft. It's boiled now." And then he tells her to touch the egg, to peel the egg. She peels the egg and he tells her, "Please describe the egg." She says, it's hard, it's a hard-boiled egg now." He opens up the pot which has the coffee in it and he pours some coffee and gives it to her to drink. And she starts to smile because of the lovely aroma that was coming from the coffee. Now he teaches her the lesson. He tells her, these three things, the potato, the egg, and the coffee beans, they were all put through the same adversity, i.e. hot water. The same adversity. The potato went in hard, rough, and tough. It went in, it was put through the adversity, it came out soft, weak, and squishy. On the other hand, the egg went in weak and fragile. Weak and fragile. It was put through the same adversity, hot water, it came out strong, a hard-boiled egg. Coffee, on the other hand, it went in as coffee beans. It was put through the same adversity, hot water, and it came out, it was creative, and it came out with something completely new, something, you know, tantalizing, fresh coffee. And so he taught her, likewise, life puts us through challenges, but it depends on how we come out and how we look at those challenges. At times, the biggest mistake that we make is that we think that our negative perception of a reality is the only solution. Our negative perception of a matter is the only solution that exists. This is the biggest mistake that we make. Every dark cloud has a silver lining. It's just that at times you need to look a little harder to find that silver lining. And all of these legends, all of these luminaries, they did so. They strove hard. So let us derive lessons. Let us strive hard. Look back at our Salafuna Saleh. Look at the scholars. Look at the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Look at the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. Their lives have been documented and their lives are there for us to derive lessons. The more we go into their lives, Each time we go into their lives, we come out with amazing, amazing lessons. Be it the prophets, the Sahaba, the scholars of the past, just amazing, so profound. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us strive hard. Let us strive hard to secure a good life in this world as well as the hereafter, because there's nothing wrong in living a good life in this world as long as you live within the guidelines of Sharia, within the framework of Sharia, as long as you adhere to the teachings and the commandments of Islam, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So work towards high aspirations, aspire to inspire as many people. Firstly, inspire yourself, and then inspire others before you meet Malakul Maut, before you expire, in other words. Because inevitably we all have to face death. It's a short, temporary life. Let's make the best of it. Every single second that passes by, those seconds are so priceless. Even if you were to spend £1 million, you would not be able to get those seconds that went by. They're so priceless. Use every single second, every minute, every day, every moment that you have to do as much good as possible, securing the pleasure of your Maker, thereby resulting in you becoming successful in this world as well as the hereafter, and also resulting in you leaving behind a legacy that resonates of goodness throughout the annals of time. With that I conclude. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins, to accept our good deeds, and just as how He unites us here in this beautiful venue, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi